Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Today, I invite you to join a team that's been playing together for over 2,000 years, whose victories will be remembered for millenniums to come. It's called God's Team. And here's what I believe. I believe that you are uniquely gifted for a particular position that's open right now on God's team. I really do. This morning, we're beginning a new sermon series called Serving Together. And one of the things that happens when families and when friends serve together is they start growing strong together. Friends and family who serve together begin to grow strong together. One of our initiatives, one of our goals here at Arapahoe Road is growing strong families. And families who serve together grow strong together. Can we just make that declaration together this morning on three? One, two, three. Families who serve together grow together. You might want to jot that down somewhere. You might want to put that on your refrigerator or write it and then take a picture of it and let that be your screensaver this week. And just be reminded throughout this week and throughout this series that families who serve together grow strong together. God has created you, and He's crafted you. And He's uniquely gifted you to add value to other people and to contribute in ways that are going to bless others. And along the way, they're going to develop you into who God has always longed for you to be in that process. As a matter of fact, did you know something? Did you know that the more you serve others, the more your life begins to look like the life of Jesus? Think about what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. This would be a great verse to memorize as a family. Mark 10, 45, Jesus says this. He says, "For even the Son of Man," Jesus is the Son of Man, okay? He says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to what? To serve. And to give His life as a ransom for many." That's why just a few moments ago, when we were giving our offering in my prayer, I said, you're never more like Jesus than when you give. Because when you begin to give and give all of who you are, your life begins to look like the life of Jesus. I mean, if you want your life to look more and more like Jesus, then become a person who is committed to serving others and giving your life to something much, much bigger than just yourself. Kids, I'd love for you to draw me a picture this morning of Jesus serving other people, helping other people. There's all kinds of scenes throughout the Bible where we see Jesus serving other people, helping other people. Maybe it's Jesus serving the people who are hungry and giving them food. That's one scene you might want to draw. Maybe it's Jesus serving other people by teaching them something that they need to know. So maybe you want to draw a picture of Jesus serving through teaching. Maybe it's Jesus coming along someone who's sad and sitting down next to them and listening to them or crying with them. In John chapter 11, we read where Jesus comes and He sits next to people whose friend has died, whose brothers have died. Lazarus died, and it said before Jesus called him back to life, He wept with Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. Draw me a picture of what you think it looks like. Jesus serving somebody else. And when you're finished this morning, right out here in the Home Life Center, I've got a space for you to put your art. I'd love to see what you think of when you think of Jesus serving somebody else. Mom, dad, grandparents, if you want your family to grow strong and to look more and more like Jesus intended for your family to look, then you've got to become a family who begins to live lives of service together. Let's just begin by looking at what the Bible has to say about how God has uniquely gifted us to serve out of our gift mix and serve others in the process. Turn with me in your Bible, or turn on your Bible. Some of you may be using Bibles on your mobile device. That's great. Either turn with me or turn on your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you didn't bring a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you there. 1 Corinthians 12 is going to be on page 959. If you don't have a Bible, come see me when we're finished this morning in the Home Life Center, and I'll give you a brand new one. I'd love to give you a copy of the Bible so that you have it and can take it with you. As you're turning in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 12, I've got to tell you, I'm indebted to our friends at Lake Point Church. Dr. Steve Stroop and his team over there just do an amazing job of resourcing other churches. What we're going through in this series, this sermon series of serving together, is something that their team created, and they've made it available to other churches who also want to help grow strong families. So this is material from them, and I'll be using some of their words and throughout the series, some of the resources from Lake Point. Really, really grateful to Dr. Stroop and just the vision that he and his team have to resource other churches. And so we're all on this team together, and we're all on this thing together, and just grateful for them. And so let's begin reading in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 12. We'll just read about three or four verses this morning. Paul's writing, and he says this: "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of what? Service. All kinds of ways you can serve. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." Look at verse 7 here. This is talking to you. This is talking to me. "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." What's the words of the Lord? Thanks be to God. Now, here's the central truth that I want us to think about from this passage that we just read. The central truth of this passage we just read is this: when every believer gets in the game and uses their abilities, everyone wins. Can we just make that declaration together? Because that's a powerful, powerful declaration. Let's say that together on three. One, two, three. When every believer gets in the game and uses their abilities, everyone wins. You might just want to jot that down in your notes. That's a really, really important point that we want to take with us this morning. There's two insights from this central truth out of our text this morning that I want to cover with you. Today is really kind of an introduction into this series we're going to be walking through, and this is a really key central part of that text. And two insights I want you to think about with me this morning. And the first insight is this: God has uniquely gifted every believer. So if you've put your faith, hope, and trust in Christ, you've asked Him to forgive you of your sin, to be the Lord of your life, to live inside of you, empowered by His Holy Spirit, God has uniquely gifted you. He really has. You see, when you were born, let me tell you some things that happened when you were born. When you were born, God gave you specific talents. Now, I was made aware a few years ago of a tool that's called Strength Finders. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of Strength Finders. Some of you may have heard that. It's a great tool. Strength Finders, it was developed by the Gallup organization. And they say that as we grow from the time that we're born, what happens is that our brain is wired in such a way that we're interested and we're passionate about everything. That's the way our brains are wired from the very beginning. And as you grow a little older, particularly before you reach the age of about 6, okay, most of those connections begin to disconnect, okay? And you're left with a few connections that remain strong. Now, why does that happen? Because if those connections that you start off with were still maintained, where you're interested and passionate about everything, it would drive you crazy. Because every single thing that would come in your life, you're like, oh, I'm passionate and interested about that and that and that and that and that and that. And so God does you a favor. He allows some of those things to begin to disconnect. And those that remain connected are your strengths. So you're strong in a few areas. You're passionate about a few things and not every single thing. In other words, when God creates you, He creates you with some innate strengths. Now, you could even take a little survey online, the Strength Finders survey, and it's going to list for you, after you answer a bunch of questions there, it will list for you your top five strengths in their order, okay? The top five strengths in their order. And Gallup says, and I don't know if I believe this or not. I mean, I'm pretty trusting in what Gallup does. They do really good research, but this stat just kind of blew me away. And so if it's true, man, that's like, wow, that is amazing. But Gallup says that there's only about five other people on the continental United States that would have the same five strengths as you do in the exact same order that you have. Crazy. But think about this. In addition to those strengths, God also has allowed you, allowed me, allowed us to develop some skills. Those abilities that we learn from others as we grow. And in addition to those strengths and those skills, the Bible says that every single believer in Jesus Christ has been given a supernatural ability that was given to them on the day that they were saved, or on the day that they were born again, spiritually born. You go, like what? Like a web crawler, or, you know, I mean, I can shoot fire out of my... No, not those supernatural things. Those... No, not that. And you go, wait a minute, where does it say that in the Bible? Are you just making this stuff up? No, I'm not. It's in Scripture. Let me just give you four references. You might want to jot these references down, and in your quiet moments alone with God this week, just take some time reading and meditating and praying through these different passages of Scripture that say when you were born spiritually, you're given a gift or some spiritual gifts. It's 1 Corinthians 12 that we just read a bit of, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. And in those four passages, it lists some of those strengths. And depending on how you count the different lists that are in those passages, some of those lists have some duplications of gifts. There are about 20 to 23 spiritual gifts that are listed. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you have at least one of those gifts. Now, because none of those lists in those different passages are identical, many scholars believe that those lists are not exhaustive. And instead, many believe those are just some examples of the kinds of abilities and kinds of gifts that God gives His church so that together we can be on God's team and do something really, really special in the world in the name of Christ as we're all serving together. I believe that God brings together the people of His local church and then supernaturally gifts them with gifts and with abilities that are needed for that local church that's in that particular community, in that particular culture, at that particular time, to do the particular things that God wants to do around the neighborhoods that God situated His local church. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is a local church. First Baptist Garland is a local church. First Baptist Wiley is a local church. The Village, a local church. Watermark, a local church. And God assembles people in those local churches and gifts them to do the things God wants them to do. For God's dreams to come true through His people that He's assembled together and has gifted together so that they can serve together and fulfill the dreams that God always wanted fulfilled through His church. That's what I think happens. That's what I think God's doing. And we do know that every single believer has been given at least one spiritual gift, talents given to them by God, skills that we develop as we grow. And in addition to this, God, check this out, God has equipped us, given us a unique personality. There's a guy named Dr. John Trent. He's a great Christian researcher, does some amazing, amazing work. Dr. John Trent created a personality profile test. Have you ever had to take a personality profile test, like if you're going through a job interview or something like that, to kind of see, okay, who is this person? What are they good at? What are they not so good at? What are they like? Dr. John Trent has created a personality profile tool that has identified, check this out, 19,860 different personalities. Wow, that's a lot. Now think about it. Think about it. You take that grid of all those different personalities, okay, and you put on top of it the 20 to 23 spiritual gifts that we see listed in the Bible, and then you lay on top of that the individual strengths and talents and abilities that God gives us. And then you put the 34 different strengths that we referenced in the Strength Finders tool. Friends, we are as different and unique as our thumbprints. God created you uniquely to serve Him and to bless others in His name through your service. God has something that He's crafted you for, so that you can be involved and a part of His team that's actually in the game, not just on His team and on the sidelines, but that's actually in the game playing. He wants you to be serving together in your everyday walking around lives, wherever you live and work and go to school, serving together, certainly outside the walls of the church. And we'll talk more about that throughout this series. But God also wants you to serve inside the walls of the church. Every single person in this room right now who calls Arapahoe Road Baptist Church home has been uniquely gifted by God and has a place where you can add value and where you can serve somewhere in this church family. That was from somebody who's serving in a lot of different ways. He's going, come on, somebody else help. Pick up the rope. He really has. He wants you to get in the game. Now, here's the sad thing. In spite of all that we've been talking about, there are some in the room today who are on the team, they're just not in the game yet. They're spectators, but not participators. I mean, of those who call themselves members at Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, who have gone through my little Connect class, you go, how do you join this church? You go through a Connect class with me. You go, why do you make me do that? I don't like class. Okay, we'll just call it a Connect conversation then. Is that better? Because I'm going to get me a cup of coffee, and if you drink coffee, you can get you a cup of coffee. I just want to sit down and have a conversation with you. I want to get to know your story. I want to know where you're from. I want to know how God has brought you this far. Because what I do know, after serving in ministry in this area, I've been at Arapahoe Road for 5 years. I served just down the street at the Heights Baptist Church for 13 years. So for you know, almost two decades, what I've seen is the people in this community come from all different kinds of faith backgrounds. Many of them Baptist, many of them not. And before we just check a box and sign you up and say, welcome to the family, I want to know, has there ever been a time where you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus? Have you followed Jesus in baptism by immersion? Do you even know what is expected of being a member? Now, anybody's welcome. I mean, we can just put a sign out there. Y'all come. That's great. You're welcome to come as long as you want. But to take a next step and to actually become a member of a local church, Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, I want to know a little of your story. I want you to know a little of my story. And I want to know what questions that you have. And so we'll just talk through that. And we'll go through this little folder. I mean, it's real simple. And on like on page one, there's a little letter from me saying, hey, thanks for being here. On page two, it just says Arapaho Road member expectations. And we just talk about these are the things that we expect the members of our church to be a part of. And one of those things on here talks about faithfully serving in ministry. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a minister. I'm no different from you, you're no different from me. This happens to be my vocational ministry, but man, Bill Flowers, that we talked about earlier, in the CPA world, his mission and ministry field are the people that he comes in contact with, the people that he helps wherever he goes. If you're a teacher, your mission field is your classroom, those that you're investing in, and blessing, and loving your neighbors, and blessing the city, all that stuff that we talk about. But we also want you to be a part of ministry inside the church. And so we go through that. At the end of all that, there's this little thing here that just kind of gives us your updated information. There's a little thing right down here that says signature. And some of you signed that, and you lied. And I just want to say, I know who you are. And I love you anyway. I really do. We do. We love you. But I just kind of feel a little bit sorry for you because I know you're not in the game. You're in the stands or you're on the team, but God's got so much more for you. He's got so many more dreams for you to fulfill by getting in the game and by being a servant and being on mission together, in community together, and serving together. Because he's given you all these talents and gifts and a great personality and all these quirks and stuff that make up you, that if you're not serving, we're not complete. We're missing out. I'm so hoping, I've never hoped for J.J. Barea's growing to heal like I hope it heals because the Mavs are going to get in the playoffs. But boy, man, when he pulled his groin, you know, now he's off. And our team, the Mavs, aren't quite as great if he's not there. And who would have thought that like a 5'1" guy would be such a vital part of that team? I mean, everybody knows Dirk and, you know, the fadeaway. But we really need J.J. And when J.J.'s not on the floor, the Mavs suffer. I digress. And so I've just been thinking, why is it that some people are in the game serving and other people haven't yet gotten off the bench to serve? They're on the team, but something's holding them back. I think there may be at least four reasons. See if any of these fit you. One's just been called the glorification of a gift. The glorification of a gift. Glorification of a gift is where you take one of those gifts or talents, think of something easy like preaching or teaching, something like that. Some people are just really gifted at standing before others and being able to speak or teach, and you're sitting there going, oh, I could never do that. I mean, you might could do that, but I could never do that. And so, in a sense, there's this glorification that, man, if you can teach, if you can preach, man, you've got a gift that's really glorified in other people's eyes. And as you do that, you may be encountering a second problem at the same time, which is the depreciation of a gift. And going, well, I mean, I just have the gift of helping people. I'm really good behind the scenes. I'm not very good when I have to step into the light and lead a bunch of people. I mean, that kind of gift is really a better gift than this over here. And besides, if I don't serve behind the scenes, nobody's going to really know. Nobody's going to really care. And that's so not true. That's so not true. I'm so praying right now. Will you join me in prayer for the trainers of the Mavs that they would do whatever needs to be done to make sure all the nicks and bruises and pulled muscles. I mean, their contracts aren't like the contracts of the guys that are actually putting the ball in the hole, but they're vital. They're vital. Everybody on the team needs to play. Everybody on the team has a gift. Don't depreciate yours just because it may be behind the scenes and not out in front. The third thing that may keep people out of the game is what's been called analysis paralysis. Analysis paralysis. That's when people get so wrapped up and so bogged down in trying to clarify, okay, what am I good at? What are my talents? What are my strengths? What's my personality? I don't know that I'm a perfect fit there. What about, I might be there, but, and you get paralyzed by analyzing what you think you may, could, possibly, sort of, kind of be good at, but you don't ever end up doing anything because you're always analyzing everything. See if you agree with me on this. I think it's easier to steer a car that's moving than to try and steer a car that's at a dead stop. Yes? Yeah. What would happen if you just jumped in somewhere and started serving? You're going, it'd be mass chaos. It sure would. It would be mass chaos. But at some point, you've got to jump in. You've got to take a step. You've got to quit being paralyzed by your analysis and just jump in. Here's what's wonderful. Here's what's wonderful about the church. What's wonderful about our church. If you jump in, you get out there, you start serving somewhere, doing something, and you're not very good at it, can I just tell you, we love you enough to tell you, hey, I love you, but you stink at that. We'll just tell you the truth in love. And we'll say, man, I see your heart. I see that you've got a zeal to help somebody. Let's try this over here. And you may get in there and go, that doesn't fit either. Well, we'll find you another spot. And we'll just keep working until we find that spot for you. You go, how will you know when you find the right spot? Because we'll begin to see fruit coming out of your life. You'll begin hearing people go, man, I tell you what. That person is awesome. That person is amazing. She is adding so much. He has been such an answer to prayer. And you'll just begin to hear and see, in a sense, a laying on of hands. Patting on the back. Man, great job. Good work. Way to go. And we'll keep encouraging you. You found your spot in the game. Keep working. Keep serving. I think of Jim Connor, sitting right back there. Man, you talk about a great team player. He's heading up our safety and security team, and he's helping us check in and make sure everything that happens in our check-in in our kids' building is running smoothly. Jim, I love you for that. Man, thank you so much. I love you just for who you are, but I really love you that man, you've just stepped out and said, man, I got to get in the game here, and you're doing a great job. Dude, I think about Joyce Fay. Joyce Fay, man, she is just an amazing woman. Every Monday, she and a part of her team get together over at the bank, and so when the offering is collected and you give your offering, she's got a team that meets at the bank every Monday, and they count, and they are serving to make sure that everything is in its place and its proper accountability. I think of somebody like David Eglin, who's just a master sheetrocker, and I've read the Bible several times. I've never seen, and some he gave the gift of sheetrock. But I'm telling you, David Eglin knows what he's doing when it comes to sheetrocking. I mean, that little thing in the brain stuck. And he's just been on a mission here with a team of folks that have been just doing amazing work, repairing and preparing all over the campus, inside and outside. I think of guys like John Long. Man, John, I was up here the other morning real early. I mean, it was like 6:30 or something like that. I got here early, and I pulled up, and the emergency lights are on over there, and I'm like, oh, great, you know, something happened. And I'm walking in, and I just hear, hey, it's okay, Pastor David. It's just me. It's just John. I'm just testing the batteries in the emergency lights. It's much easier to do when everything's dark. And plus, I don't really like climbing up ladders if I don't have to. So just wanted you to know it's me. Nobody asked him to do that. Nobody was checking up on him to see if he did that. He didn't expect a gift card to Chili's because he did that. Why is he doing that? Because he's passionate about serving on the team.
I think about Betty Hyde, who camps right out here at this little desk and who's responsible for recruiting and getting all of our different greeters. When you came in, somebody greeted you. And I think about Betty Hyde, who's just every week just working to make sure somebody's there to greet. I think about John and Vicky Parker, who just said, man, we just want to take those front flower beds. We just want to make those beautiful. And then the hail and the storm came, and you know what happened? They're back out there. Just repairing. I could go on and on and on about so many people at Arapahoe Road who are in the game. And there's a place for you to add value to what's going on around here at God's house, in God's house. Get in the game. Get on the team. There's a place for you to serve. Can I just tell you that I've got a dream that someday, every Sunday, will be with such intensity, we're preparing for Easter Sunday every Sunday. And I mean every door and out in the, I have a dream that one day we will have a parking team, that the first time somebody drives onto our campus, there'll be a person in a vest and a flag waving, and there'll be people out at every corner of the parking lot going, I'm glad you're here. How can I help? You know, man, write this, we're so glad you're here, and we've expected you. We've got a place for you. We got a place for you. Can I just tell you, I don't have the spiritual gift of taking out the trash. I don't. But there's a problem in my house. We're trashy people. And nobody else in our house has that spiritual gift either. I love it when Allison says, you know, this trash needs to be taken out. The sharpest tool the Lord ever gives you is a spouse to create you into the image that he's always wanted you to be. And so I've learned to just take the trash out. I'll be taking out the trash a lot lately. In the future, sleeping on the couch too. If somebody doesn't take out the trash, you know what happens to the house? It starts to what? Starts to stink. Sometimes what it means to serve is just doing what needs to be done. And in that process, sometimes what happens is you find, you know, I kind of like taking out the trash. Gives me a few minutes to just kind of look at the flower beds, play with the dog, whatever. Sometimes when you do something that just needs to be done, you begin to go, wow, I'm really pretty good at this. You know, I didn't even know that I like to do this thing or that thing. I'm not talking about the trash. You know what I'm talking about. And sometimes just being aware of a need and jumping in saying, I'll do that, God begins to open something up in you to go, I know, I made you good at that. I've just been waiting for you to jump in and take the first step. Analysis by paralysis keeps us back. Just jump in. Start serving somewhere. Figure out your fit as you go. I think there's a fourth reason why people don't serve, and that's because of a lack of margin. A lack of margin means you feel like you don't have any more space physically, mentally, emotionally to add anything else to your list in your full lives. You just are going, man, I just can't do one more thing. I don't have any margin left. Friends, let me tell you something. Losing margin in your life will kill your compassion. When your life is booked cover to cover all the way to the side of the page, you do not usually have a whole lot of compassion for anybody that's not already written on that page. Losing margin in your life, it'll kill your creativity. It will take you out of the game and bench you. And some of you in the room today, in order to get into the game that God wants you to be in, you need to figure out which games you need to bow out of. You're too involved, too committed. I'm not talking about leaving somebody holding the rope that you've made a commitment to, but I'm talking about evaluating your life and going, hey, at this point right here, I'm going to begin an exit strategy so that at this point, I'm no longer on that
page. I'm on this page, and I'm creating some margin for God to allow me, to show me, to use me in some ways that are going to have some eternal significance in the game that matters the most. I mean, what games do you need to think about bowing out of, so that you can begin to be more involved in the games that matter the most? You need to create margin, not only for formal areas of service, but also just as you're going about your day. If you're so booked sideline to sideline, margin to margin, and God gives you a divine appointment that crosses your path, are you too full to be able to stop, recognize it, and meet that need? If you're too busy for that, you're not living where God wants you to live. Go back and read the story of the Good Samaritan. Man, that one guy just saw the need, he got off and he helped. He loved his neighbor. And as you love your neighbor, you begin to bless the city. You become somebody when you create some margin and you encounter those divine appointments and you step into it and you go, wow, I can do that. I'm good. Or I know who can help you. That's Good Samaritan and the innkeeper. Collaboration. And if you have no margin in your life, you're going to miss some of the things God wants you to be a part of in making his dreams come true. Man, as you start following Jesus and loving your neighbor and blessing the city, you'll be becoming a disciple. Becoming a disciple. We need to slow down, pay attention to who God made us to be, and experiment until we find that sweet spot in God's service. So that first insight to that 1 Corinthians 12 passage is that God has uniquely gifted every believer. And just the few moments we have left, let me cover the second one. It's not quite as full as that first one. The second insight to that passage is that when we use our unique gifts on God's team, everyone wins. Everyone wins. You might want to just jot that down. When we use our unique gifts on God's team, everyone wins. Let's just talk about who's everyone. Let's kind of define that. Let's break that up a little bit. Well, first off, the people that we serve are going to win. Those we serve win. I hope that you will be here next week. I pray you will be here next week, because next week I'm going to share in more detail about a couple of options and opportunities that are on the horizon that we're going to have an opportunity as a church family to serve together and to serve with our specific families. It's going to be such a great, great opportunity. I hope that you'll be here next week. We'll dig in a bit deeper, but we're partnering. I've told you this in days gone by. Maybe you saw the banner that was out front that says Summer Nutrition Program. It's got a little, the City of Garland insignia on it. We're going to have an opportunity this summer in June to serve some kids in our neighborhood who are hungry and who don't have enough to eat. And we're going to be a part of this Summer Nutrition Program with the City of Garland. I'll tell you more about how to get involved in that next week. Nelva Underwood has stepped into that lead role, and she's going to be with us to unpack what that looks like a bit more. Throughout the month of June, it's going to be a great opportunity for your family to serve together in a very special way, unique way, that's going to preserve the dignity of those who need some help, but that's going to bless them, and it's going to bless you as well. Write this date down. Sunday, May 15th. Sunday, May 15th. Write that down somewhere. Don't look at me. Write it down. Don't look at me. Or type it in. Sunday, May 15th. Do not miss Sunday, May 15th. You go, why? What's happening Sunday, May 15th? Sunday, May 15th is going to be a serving together Sunday. Because some of you may have no margin in your life. And you're just going, I can't get margin until next year. You've got enough margin to be here. We're going to bring the serving opportunity to you right here on a Sunday morning, May the 15th, from 9:30 in the morning until about 12. We're going to turn our gymnasium into a food warehouse. And we're partnering with the Children's Hunger Fund. And they are going to bring all of the food, all of the materials. They're going to be here to train us. And then we're going to pack 1,000 boxes of food that will be used as a food supplement for families in the community that don't have enough to eat. and we're going to do it together, and we're going to serve together, and it's going to be stinking awesome. I cannot wait for that. We'll give you more information on that. Sunday, May 15th. Those are a couple of things on the horizon. So be here next week. We'll share more about that. And the people that we're going to serve in that opportunity, man, they're going to be blessed. That's what happens when you get involved. The people that we serve win. The second winner is God's glory. God is glorified when we serve together. Do you remember what Jesus said when he was talking? He was teaching. He was talking to his disciples, and he was teaching them from Matthew chapter 25. You may just want to turn back to the left a few pages. Matthew 25, I want to show you what Jesus says. It's on page 830 if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, or just flip over there on your screen if you're on your phone. Matthew 25, this is so great. Jesus talking. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31, it says this. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. And then the King will say to those on His right," check this out, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Verse 35. Why are we going to feed all those hungry people? Just let them go get a job. No. Because Jesus says in verse 35, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And then the righteous will answer him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Verse 40. And the King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." That is the word of the Lord. Man, when you serve others, not only does that person win, but God's glory wins. God is glorified in that process, because Jesus said, when you serve that person, you're serving me. I get great glory when you love your neighbor and when you bless the city like that. You'll be following in my footsteps as you're serving together, especially when you're serving together as a family. You'll be in the process of making disciples. Third winner is this. As we serve together, our oikos wins. You're going, oikos? Is that a typo? No, it's a Greek word, actually. Oikos, that's not a word we use all the time. I think there's some oikos yogurt. If you go to the store, you might see some oikos yogurt. And you're like going, I'm all into oikos. Oikos, it simply means household or family. If you want to be a part of growing strong families, growing strong oikos, be a family who serves together regularly. The Bible says in Acts 16 that when the Philippian jailer got saved, not only did he get saved, but his whole household got saved. His oikos got saved. In Acts chapter 10, it talks about a man named Cornelius who got saved, along with his whole household, along with his oikos, got saved. There's a ripple effect. And when we serve together, men and women, our families get a family value passed down to them. Our oikos gets affected when we serve together. I mean, many of you may already be aware that we believe very strongly here at Arapahoe Road that the best way to pass down the faith of our fathers and mothers is in the family, through the family. It's not the only way, but we do believe it's the best way. It's God's design to be passed down the faith of our fathers, the faith of our mothers. And we need not only to share salvation with our family, we need to share the discipleship process and model the discipleship process with our family. This is what it looks like to live the Christian life. And you can't do that fully if you're not modeling service with and to your spouse and your kids.
When my seminary professors told me, I've shared this with before, I heard and I forgot, I saw and I remembered, but I did it and I understood. You can't serve by just agreeing. You got to get in the game. That's part of making disciples. And if you're not married, if you don't have children yet, that's okay. There's still plenty of places where you can serve, where you can pass along your faith and grow strong in your family dynamic, even if right now your family dynamic is one. It may be that God's preparing you right now for more people to be a part of your family in the days to come. So don't just write it off. Oh, there's a growing strong family. This isn't for me. It's for you. And it's for me. But we believe that the Bible teaches that faith starts at where? At home. And the church is meant to come alongside and equip and empower you to be the primary disciple maker in your family. Let me say that again. God wants you to be the primary disciple maker in your family, not me. Why? Because he's entrusted your family to you. You've got way more time with your family than I do. He's called me. He's called our staff. He's called our teams up here to equip, empower, entrust, and come alongside you. That's a healthy church who has healthy families that are growing strong together. The church is not here to do it for you. It's not here to be a conduit where you outsource your faith. That's your responsibility, Dad. That's your responsibility, Mom. That's your responsibility, grandparents. Your faith starts at home. And faith and families are made stronger when we serve together.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.